ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada, text number 9. Abhimanyu Sutam Suta Prahur Bhagavatottamam Tasya Janma Mahascharyam Karmani Cha Grinihi Naha Abhimanyu Sutam, the son of Abhimanyu. Suta, O Suta, Prahu is said to be Bhagavat Uttamam, the first class devotee of the Lord. Tasya, his Janma, birth, Maha Ascharyam, very wonderful. Karmani, activities, cha, and grinihi, please speak to naha, us. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is said that Maharaj Parikshit is a great first class devotee of the Lord, and that his birth and activities are all wonderful. Please tell us about him. Purport. The birth of Maharaj Parikshit is wonderful because in the womb of his mother he was protected by the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. His activities are also wonderful because he chastised Kali, who was attempting to kill a cow. To kill cows means to end human civilization. He wanted to protect the cow from being killed by the great representative of sin. His death is also wonderful because he got previous notice of his death, which is wonderful for any mortal being. And thus he prepared himself for passing away by sitting down on the bank of the Ganges and hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord. During all the days he heard Bhagavatam, he did not take food or drink, nor did he sleep a moment. So everything about him is wonderful, and his activities are worth hearing attentively. Desire is expressed herein to hear about him in detail. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiltamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasa Hari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So this chapter is entitled The Appearance of Narada, and we see in the beginning of this chapter the sages, the assembly of sages at Naimisharanya headed by Shaunaka Rishi are putting forward some questions to Suta Goswami. So in the previous few verses they have asked various questions with great enthusiasm and eagerness. So they are very eager to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore they asked Suta Goswami to narrate the Srimad Bhagavatam. And also they put forward questions about asking about the author Srila Vyasadev. So they're asking, from where did Vyasadev get the inspiration to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because previously to that, Vyasadev had put down into writing the four Vedas and all the Puranas and the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. So therefore, the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they are asking that from where did he get the inspiration to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, though everything else is compiled. So how did he get this inspiration? And they are also eager to know the place where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken and how that came about, how that situation came about. How Shukdev Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And we have heard that Shaunaka Rishi glorified the birth of Shukdev Goswami and his life also. And how he also questioned how that the citizens viewed Shukdev Goswami as. Because externally, Shukdev Goswami was acting like a retarded, dumb and madman. And now they're asking questions about Maharaj Parikshit. So, Shaunaka Rishi is asking about the birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit. So here we see that this eagerness is there in devotees to hear about other devotees and to glorify the Lord. So it said, Lalyam Ekam Mulyam. So this eagerness to hear about Krishna is the first qualification. And this eagerness to render devotional service is required. If we want to do any activity, we have to be very eager. So even if we want to succeed in Krishna consciousness, we have to be very eager and enthusiastic to render devotional service, and especially to hear about Krishna. And also this eagerness to hear is one of the eight characteristics of the stage of bhava. So one who has attained the stage of bhava, which is the preliminary stage to prema, love of Godhead, in that they are also very eager to render devotional service and to glorify the Lord. So from the nectar of devotion, we know the eight characteristics of bhava are like, the first one is cessation of material desires. And then such devotees, they utilize every moment in the transcendental service of the Lord. So they don't waste any time. So every moment of the day is used in serving Krishna in one of the nine items of devotional service. And then there is this eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. So any opportunity they get, they use it to glorify the Lord. And then there is attraction for living in the land of the Lord. And this complete detachment from material happiness and pridelessness. So these are the characteristics of the stage of bhava, and eagerness to glorify the Lord is one of them. And here we see that devotees take great interest also in glorifying other Vaishnavas. In fact, it is said in the Padma Purana that worship of Vishnu is the highest, but even higher than that is worship of Vishnu or Krishna's devotees. So, and also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dveshyo Stina Priyaha Ye Bhajanti Tumam Bhaktya Mai Te Teshu Chapi Aham. So Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend in me, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So here Krishna is saying that he is actually equal to all living entities. But then he contradicts himself by saying that he favors his devotees. So this might seem like a contradiction, but actually it's not. And the example is of the sun and the sun rays. So the sun is spreading its sun rays everywhere. But if we confine ourselves in a dark room, then whose fault is it? We simply have to go outside and access the sun rays. So even in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, like the cloud pours rain everywhere. So if you want rain, you just go out. So the cloud, the rainfall takes place everywhere, on the ocean, on the land, on the rocks, everywhere. So one has to avail oneself to Krishna's mercy. So here Krishna says that he is equal to all, but he especially favors his devotees. So therefore we can see that devotees are very dear to Krishna, because he favors his devotees, because that's very natural. If someone is very dear to you, you will favor them. So we also see, like a father, he has a few children, so he'll especially favor those children. Or you take the example of a headmaster in school. So under the headmaster there are thousands of children. So he treats all of them equally, but he gives special attention to his own children. So whether they are studying in the same school or another school, but when he goes home, his children are there, he'll give them special attention. So that is quite natural. So because this kind of special favor is shown to devotees because there is reciprocation between the Lord and His devotees. Because the devotees render devotional service, therefore the Lord reciprocates. So if someone does something for us, we also reciprocate back, or at least we should. So if someone does some favor to us or renders some service, so it is, one should actually reciprocate in some way and serve the other Vaishnava. So in this way, worship of devotees is actually higher than worship of Krishna. So here we see that the birth of, here in this verse, the Shaunakara Rishi is very eager to hear about the birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit. So he is, therefore, he is inquiring about that. And here in the translation, it's mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit is a great first-class devotee of the Lord. So, as we know, there are three levels of devotees. There's the Kanishtha Adhikari, there's the Madhyam Adhikari, and then there's the Uttam Adhikari. So the Kanishtha Adhikari basically thinks that God is only situated in the temple. Or they'll say that, you know, I belong to such and such religion, and therefore this is the only way. Or you can only find God in the mosque, in the temple, or in the church, or whatever faith they belong to. So they say God is only present in my place of worship. So, and everyone else is wrong and they're going to hell. Or even we see religious fanaticism. So again, that is basically very, you know, neophyte understanding. And they're not even able to distinguish even amongst devotees. They're not able to recognize the position of the devotees. Because it actually takes a devotee to recognize a devotee. As we heard in the previous verses, that even, or we will hear in the coming verses, that we will hear, or it's there, let me see. Actually, Shaunakara Rishi inquired. But we'll see that sometimes some people cannot understand devotees, the behavior of devotees. And many, the common citizens, they could not understand the behavior of Shukdev Goswami. So they thought he's just mad and retarded. And even we see with Jada Bharat, people were treating him in a very rough way. They could not understand his position. And therefore they were committing so many offenses. So a Kanishtha Adhikari is not able to recognize the position of devotees. And neither do they know the absolute truth, the science of the absolute truth. So they do not even know the position of God properly. And therefore, because they have this, and their faith is also very weak. And they don't have knowledge of the Shastras. Therefore, they are unable to distinguish. So, and because of lack of faith and lack of knowledge, we see they are quarreling amongst themselves. Like, you know, my religion is supreme. Now they're saying mine is superior. So in this way, we see there's so much quarrel and strife going all over the world. And even the common man says, I'm not interested in religion because religion is just a mess. Religion is the cause of so many wars. Religion is the cause of so many problems in the world. Every major conflict is linked with some kind of religion. So we see this is because of a lack of understanding, proper understanding. And then there is the Madhyam Bhakta who is much more advanced than the Kanishtha. So the one can, Madhyam Adhikari can basically knows who the Supreme Lord is, who the devotees are, who to stay away from, those who are inimical, and who to show mercy to the innocent people. So to the Supreme Lord, such a devotee renders service and worships the Lord, is the object of worship. And he knows the science. He's not fully conversant with the Shastra, but his faith is very, very strong. In his heart, he has firm conviction that this is the right way. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and devotional service is the means and the end. And therefore, the purpose of my life is to render devotional service to Krishna. So in his heart, he or she has this firm conviction. And others cannot even sway such a devotee. Though he might not be know the Shastra in and out, but still, you know, someone, say an atheist, like sometimes we do book distribution, and sometimes many people come and they try to shake the faith of devotees. So if one's faith is not very strong, one will be shaken. So, but a Madhyam Adhikari is not defeated by opposing arguments. Or his faith is not shaken. Though he might not be able to defeat the opponent, the opposing party. So, and a Madhyam Adhikari makes friends with other devotees. So he'll know who's a senior Vaishnava, who's on his level, and who's junior to him. So he'll make friends with devotees. He'll serve the senior Vaishnavas, make friends with the equals, and show mercy to those who are less advanced than him. And then such a devotee preaches to the innocent people. So though it's a fact that all living entities who are in the material creation are envious of Krishna, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that you know, one should preach, one who preaches to the devotees is very dear to me. So Krishna is specifically mentioning about devotees. But still, such a devotee goes out of his way and preaches to the non-devotees. So they are envious of the Lord, but at the same time, they don't blaspheme the Lord outrightly and the Vaishnavas. So therefore, to such people who are innocent, he shows them favor. So therefore we see even we hold preaching programs in which so many people come, and then we filter them. So those who are envious and who are very openly decry the Lord, we ignore them and we stay away from them, because we can also get contaminated by them. And if we keep speaking to them, and then therefore they also commit more and more offenses, and they basically they are obstructing their devotional service. So the mercy is shown to them by keeping a distance from them. So they don't deride the Lord and therefore go further and further away from the Lord, and also we don't get contaminated by them. So in this way, a Madhyam Adhikari sees the Supreme Lord, the devotees of the Lord, those who are innocent, and those who are envious of the Lord, or those who openly decry the Lord. So asuram bhavam ashrita, the devotees actually stay away from them. And then there is the Uttama Adhikari, and here Maharaj Parikshit is described as an Uttama Adhikari devotee. So basically, an Uttama Adhikari devotee sees everything in relationship to the Lord. He systematically sees everything in relationship to Krishna. And he sees all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna being situated within the heart. And we see this point is also mentioned in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This comes up. So the vision of the Uttama Adhikari is given in the Vedic text. So such a devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna. So in other words, he or she sees everything as the energy of the Lord. So he sees the Brahman aspect of the Lord. So the Brahman aspect means that everything is God. In other words, everything is the energy of God. And he also sees God situated in everyone as Paramatma. And then he also sees the personal aspect of the Lord. So he sees the three features of the Supreme Lord. So when we say everything, everything means everything. And therefore whatever is value to him, he uses that in the service of the Lord. So of everything which he sees, whatever is value to him, he he engages that in the service of the Lord. So actually everything is spiritual. You know, when technically speaking, everything is spiritual. It's not like the material world and spiritual world. Though we say material, when we say material world, it means we are seeing it as separate from Krishna. Though the material world is the inferior energy of the Lord, but it is still the energy of the Lord. There is the superior energy and then there is the inferior energy. But they both are the energy of the Lord and therefore they are connected to Krishna. So therefore even the material world is also God's kingdom. And he sees, such a devotee sees that in relationship with the Lord. So here Maharaj Parikshit is described as an Uttam Adhikari. And an Uttam Adhikari basically sees everyone being engaged in the service of the Lord. Whereas the Madhyam Adhikari makes these four distinctions. Whereas the Uttam Adhikari, he sees everyone, whether the conditioned soul or the liberated soul, engaged in the service of the Lord. So it's like this. You have a prisoner in the jail. So the prisoner is also serving the government, but by force. Whereas the citizen is abiding by the laws of the government, voluntarily. So conditioned living entities are like that. Conditioned living entities are serving Krishna by force. So an Uttam Adhikari sees the conditioned soul like that. In other words, he sees the spirit soul. So what's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Pandita Samadarshana. How does it start? Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gravihastini Shuni Chaiva Tripakesha Pandita Samadarshana. So in other words, a self-realized soul or an Uttam Adhikari, he sees the Lord in everyone's heart. And he sees all living entities actually rendering service to the Lord, whether by force or voluntarily. So even we see an Uttam Adhikari comes down to the Madhyam level to preach. And like that's the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is actually an Uttam Adhikari, but he comes down at the Madhyam level to preach, because an Uttam Adhikari doesn't see any difference. He sees this ekatvam, this oneness. And even Maharaj Parikshit, though he's an Uttam Adhikari, he's seemingly engaged in worldly affairs because he's managing a kingdom. If you're managing a kingdom, you have to deal a lot with the material energy, because there's the administration, you know, you have to chastise people, there is politics involved, there's diplomacy, there's so many things involved in running a kingdom. So he's engaged in so many so-called worldly affairs. But he's also like, you know, coming down like to the Madhyam level. And before that we heard of Shukdev Goswami. So even Shukdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, they both are actually pure devotees of the Lord. But they're externally differently situated. So it actually takes a devotee to recognize a devotee. So therefore we cannot see devotees by the externals. So we cannot just simply look at the externals and come to a conclusion about that particular devotee. We have to be conversant with the Shastras, and therefore we have to see deeper. So when we come across any devotee, we have to deeply examine them. So in order to do that, we have to be conversant with the Vedic text ourselves. Otherwise we'll simply be looking at the externals of that particular devotee. And if we simply concentrate on the externals, we can actually commit offenses. So therefore it's said that it's very hard to understand a Vaishnava, the dealings of a Vaishnava. So the also an Uttama Adhikari, he sees this ekatvam anupashyataha. He sees the vision of oneness in terms of energy. He sees everything as the energy of the Lord. And at the same time, he sees that the Lord is the source of all the energy. And also he sees all living entities as one in quality with the Supreme Lord. though technically speaking we know we have 78% of the qualities of the Lord, up to 78% we can possess. But he still, that is oneness in terms of quality. And then he also sees oneness in terms of purpose or interest. So the interest of all living entities is to actually render devotional service. So he sees again this oneness of interest. So it's like you have a family. So generally speaking, the family has the same interest. Maybe not these days, but before, you know, they would be a family business. So everyone would have the same interest. Like your business, Casper, was futons, right? Family business. The footy team, okay. So the family interest was footy. Actually, Casper was mentioning that he doesn't like to sleep on the futons because his father had a futon company. And these futons were made by his competitors. So he didn't like to sleep on them. So we can see it like that. There is interest in family. Then there is, we see there is national interest. So sometimes the entire nation has a particular interest. So in Australia you can say the national interest is again footy. Footy is like a common thing. Maybe on other issues they don't agree, but at least in terms of sport they will come together, they'll agree. So there is a common interest. So similarly, for an Uttam Adhikari, he sees oneness in terms of interest in devotional service of all living entities. And therefore such a devotee can have a universal vision or real brotherhood. So, you know, the so-called politicians these days claim brotherhood. Everyone is equal. But they don't see everyone as equal. They themselves make so many discriminations. If they see everyone equal, then why are they drawing so many boundaries? You know, therefore they have this immigration department, which Prabhupada compared it to the dog department. So when someone comes, they just start barking. You know, like if you're passing somebody's house and they have a dog, in India it's very common. So a lot of people have dogs, and you're just walking past. You're walking by the gate, and the dog starts barking for no reason. You haven't even entered their property. So the immigration department is like that. If they see, the politicians see everyone equally, ekatvam, then why are they discriminating? And Prabhupada said there's so much land for everyone. In the countries like Australia and America, they have so much land which is just lying vacant. So the politicians don't see everyone equally. They don't act on the platform of oneness. But an Uttam Adhikari like Maharaj Parikshit, they see everyone equally. And it's interesting, the citizens in Sanskrit are called praja. So the praja is the citizen. So that includes not only human beings, but that also includes, praja means all living entities in that kingdom. So whether it be ants or a cow or a chicken or a tree or a bird or a human being. So their definition of citizen is very broad in the Vedic term, in the Vedic time, unlike the modern definition of a citizen, which is only a human being, and others can get slaughtered and killed and whatever. So we see that this, and the rulers or the monarchs were supposed to be Uttam Adhikaris. Therefore they called Rajashri, so a saintly king. So because Rajashri is meant to make the dependents God conscious. They are meant to free them from the bondage of lust, and they are meant to make them Krishna conscious. So if they themselves are not Krishna conscious, how can they make others Krishna conscious? If we don't like to do something, how can we get someone to do that particular thing? That's the way it works. So we have to be Krishna conscious ourselves in order to make others Krishna conscious. So that's the vision of an Uttam Adhikari. And in this shloka, Shanaka Muni is inquiring in particular about the birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit, which are very wonderful. So actually anything in relationship to the Lord is wonderful. And we also have that pastime of Madhavendra Puri, that he went to Ramuna. Madhavendra Puri, right? He went to Ramuna, and this pastime of Kheerchor Gopinath, with Kheerchor Gopinath, that he went to Ramuna and he had darshan of this deity Gopinath, and he was very curious to know how they prepare the sweet rice, so he can prepare similar sweet rice for his deity Gopal in Vrindavan. And he had this desire to taste it. Mentally he had this desire, though later he recognized that that's not the right desire, and therefore he left. But the deity actually stole that sweet rice for him. He put it behind the curtain. And then he told his pujari, actually you take this sweet rice out and give it to Madhavendra Puri. He was in the marketplace. So he just called out for him and say that the Lord has actually kept this sweet rice aside for you. And when that happened, Madhavendra Puri knew that everyone would be talking about him, and therefore he left Ramuna. But his fame was so widespread that everyone followed him wherever he went. So in this way, whatever a devotee does, devotees are actually really glorified because of their devotional service to Krishna. So here we can see, therefore, because the birth and activities of Maharaj Parikshit are connected to Krishna, they are very wonderful. And when we live our lives in relationship to the Lord, they are also very wonderful. And we see even today, so many books are compiled about for Vaishnavas. Like you have The Journey Home, which glorifies Radhana Swami. There is Stamabha Prabhu's reading, Sri Radha Damodar Vilas, that glorifies Vishnu Jan Maharaj. So in this way we can see there are so many, and we have Srila Prabhupada Leela Amrita. There are so many biographies on Prabhupada. So when we read about the birth and activities of a devotee, it is actually very, very purifying, because it is in connection to the Lord. And we can see even with Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit saw the Supreme Lord within the womb. So Uttara was approaching Krishna because who fired the arrows? Ashwathama had fired a Brahmastra at Maharaj Parikshit to destroy the last of the Pandavas, to take revenge. And therefore then Uttara approached Krishna, and Krishna entered Uttara's womb, and therefore Maharaj Parikshit saw the form of the Lord, saw Vishnu, the size of a thumb. So therefore Maharaj Parikshit is also called as Vishnu Rath, because he saw the Lord within the womb. So because Maharaj Parikshit saw the Lord within the womb, he had the impression of the Lord was very strong in his consciousness. And therefore the word Parikshit actually means examiner. So when Maharaj Parikshit came out of the womb, he was examining all living entities to search for Vishnu, to seek out Vishnu. So he was actually looking for Vishnu, and he was examining all living entities. Because he had darshan of the Lord in the womb, those impressions are very strong in his consciousness. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit was constantly remembering the Lord during his life, and he was searching out for Vishnu. Therefore he is called Parikshit. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one of those purports that if children are given very strong impressions in their babyhood and childhood, then there is actually chance for them to remember the Lord later during their lives, and they can become devotees. So therefore it's very important to give children very strong Krishna conscious impressions. So Maharaj Parikshit's life is very glorious, because his birth is very glorious. Maharaj Parikshit's birth is very glorious. He saw the Supreme Lord within the womb, and after taking birth, shortly he was enthroned as the king by Maharaj Yudhishthir. And then also he chastised Kali because he came across Kali, who was actually slaughtering a bull and a cow. And because the bull and the cow are the symbols of prosperity. So the cow represents, cow is one of the mothers, and bull represents economic prosperity. And he chastised Kali, and he actually stopped the influence of Kali, because during the time of Maharaj Parikshit, Kali Yuga had actually just begun, and therefore Kali had to enter. And when he chastised Kali, and Kali actually took shelter of Maharaj Parikshit, Kali surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit. So if someone surrenders to especially to a king, they have to give them shelter. And so Kali said, he said, you cannot reside in my kingdom. And his kingdom was all over the planet. The entire planet was his kingdom. So Kali said, where can I reside? He said, you can reside in places where there's meat eating, intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. And you can also reside in gold. So therefore Kali took shelter of these five places. And in that way, for the time being, he stopped the influence of Kali. And when Maharaj Parikshit departed from the planet, then Kali Yuga entered. Then Kali entered. Kali took more. Kali started taking prominence. And in, especially we can see 5,000 years later today, Kali has advanced a lot, very systematically. So in today's society, the four pillars of sin are very prominent. Meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling. In fact, the entire economy is based on these four pillars of sin. So Kali has actually a very strong foothold. So Maharaj Parikshit's activities are very glorious because he ruled the kingdom in a very saintly way. He looked after his citizens and also he chastised Kali. And his death is also very wonderful because in fact he got 7 days notice that he would have to leave the planet. And all the great rishis and saints came from all over the universe. Just not any Tom, Dick and Harry, but all the great personalities of the universe came to see him, to hear the Bhagavatam. And then Shukdev Goswami came and he heard the Bhagavatam from Shukdev Goswami for 7 days and 7 nights, non-stop, without eating or drinking. So that is also very amazing. So in this way we can see Maharaj Parikshit's birth and activities are very wonderful, and we, if we meditate on these, we can actually make a lot of advancement. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Yes. You can recognize them. They're different. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please. Someone who is ignorant and doing all kinds of things. Well, we have to be merciful and compassionate towards them, and we have to engage them in the Lord's service according to what they can take. So you have to judge what level they are at. Can they hear something about Krishna? Are they in a position to read a book? Sometimes they're not even in a position to read a book because it's just this goes over their head and their mind is too restless, they cannot read. So you can be friends with them, give them prasadam, give them the holy name, get them to hear the chanting. In whatever way possible, give them some Krishna consciousness. So gradually they advance. I mean, the details vary from case to case, but that's just general principle. Well, December is coming up, and the book marathon is coming, so this is a great opportunity to show mercy to the ignorant and confused. So this is a very special time of the year, because book distribution of literature is very dear to Srila Prabhupada. So not only this month of the year, but throughout the year, but especially this month. This month we do it even more. So this is a time when we can go out of our way and show compassion to the fallen living entities. And even more than that, it is for our purification. So by doing that, we get purified and we come closer to the Lord, and the entire parampara gets pleased. And also it's a great way of giving association to people. So though these books can be available at many places, but especially in book distribution, people get the association of a Vaishnava. It said, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. So even if people get association of a devotee for a moment or for a few minutes, they actually get benefited. And when they see devotees again and again, if you are doing for a month, most probably you will be at the same place many times over a few weeks. So people will actually start to recognize you. I've experienced that. So they might not even buy a book straight away, but 10 days later or 20 days later, it's happened to me. Some people have walked past, then 20 days later they say, you know, I've been walking past you every day, you know, what are you doing, and you know, what is all this all about? So after a while they get the courage to approach a devotee. So if we are just out there, Krishna will do amazing things. Krishna will use you as an instrument. So nimitta matrena. So Krishna will use us as an instrument in distributing His mercy to others. So it's a great time to have that meditation. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.